We are Brightside.
Home theater nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, a home theater podcast that's all about the experiences, the sights,
the sounds,
the scenes.
And I'm back at it alone again. Had a little trouble scheduling people this week. We had a couple of snowstorms, things got all jumbled up, certain people flying internationally, not exactly getting back when they should have. Who knows? But lots going on. So, but I had to get a show done. So here I am back at it alone again. I have a few emails to get to, a topic I've been wanting to talk about for a couple of weeks. I saw in the news, which I thought was hysterical. And, we got some big Brightside home theater. At least it is big for us anyways. I'll lead off with it actually. Nakamichi reached out to me. They want to send me the new Shockwave Wireless 1126, sound bar. And I've been talking with them back and forth and they want me to try it out, see what it's like. And I have a perfect place for it. Give it a perfect living room setup for it. And I was like, why not? I'm like, this should be fun. It'd be fun to see how it is to set up. It'd be fun to see how it sounds. I mean, Shockwave? Is it Wave or WAF? Wave. I don't know. But they're going to be sending it to me. Cinematic fidelity, blah, 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 blah. All that it does, Dolby Atmos, DTS:X, all that fun stuff. And reading about it, I know Nakamichi did a while ago. It was crazy. This one here, it was like crazy money too. I can't remember. It had a really cool name. But this one here is supposed to be, I think it's retailing for like $2,500. The system. I'll have more on it as we get going with it. And I think it's coming out. I should be getting one possibly within a month or two, something like that. Not 100% sure, but, they asked if I'd be willing to listen to it and do a show on it. And I'm like, sure. That sounds like fun. I mean, it's not something I have to tear my theater apart for. It's something I set up someplace else and I'll listen to it and then be able to compare it to my theater. So, I mean, where's the harm in that? That sounds like a lot of fun, much like I did with the one I use in the living room with Ara's speakers. So it won't be my living room that I'm going to be setting this up in. So, but yeah, so I'm actually kind of excited for that. I'm not one to do like testing and stuff like that because I don't want it. Well, I did, and I still do in my new theater. Test out speakers and stuff. And that's why I'm kind of designing the theater, not on a regular basis, but every now and then in the new theater, it'll be a little easier. But this situation here is like, it's something outside my theater and something really interesting. Even just looking at it here, I'm seeing some pictures of it. And it's a decent sized sound bar. Looks like it's about 36 inches at least long. And yeah, it has a 1126 setup. But the sound bar works with the rear channels, has two rear channels, wireless. Obviously you're going to have to plug them in, and bass module. So two bass modules actually. So that should actually help in a living room setup to even out that bass a little bit. So seems pretty cool. And like I said, I think it's around $2,500 retail. So if at around $2,500 for this entire setup, and Nakamichi makes some really good stuff, some really cool stuff that I've heard before. So should be kind of fun. And I'm not expecting it to live up to a dedicated theater, but if it can come close, similar to the feeling that I get when I listen to like a good headphone, like listening to my, you know, AirPod Maxes, and you're like, oh my God, why do I have my theater? And then you go in your theater and go, okay, that's why I have my theater. I mean, it's really good till you get into a theater and go, not so good. Okay. It's not exactly the same. And if I can get that same effect, if I feel that same effect with the Nakamichis, that would be pretty cool. Something that I may, you know, that maybe use in a media area or something otherwise, other than a dedicated, you know, theater. Or if it's that good, maybe you could use it in your living room space as opposed to going full separates. I don't know, but I'm willing to listen to it. That's for sure. So that should be fun. I'm going to keep in contact with them and see what happens. So should be fun. Nobody's ever reached out to me before about testing equipment like that. Not out of the blue. You know, it's usually been, a listener will be like, oh, hey, what about this? Or do you want to try this? And I've turned down some people, some stuff for home theater stuff that I'm not really interested in tearing my theater apart. But this one here seems like something that could be fun to play with. And I think it would be a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to doing that in the future. And hopefully it'd be a pretty cool show to do too. Maybe I could get somebody on after I do it, somebody from Nakamichi on, and we could talk about the experience. So, cause you know, it is all about the experiences, you know, sights.
The sounds.
The scenes.
Oh, all right. Let's see. Let's get to some experiences here. We had, let me go back here. Okay. So Ian had emailed us way back in July. Yeah, right. And he says, hey guys, I know we talk a lot about home theater experience in general, a lot better than the movie theater. But I think you might want to take a trip sometime. Recently in the Cleveland area of Ohio, we got our first Phoenix Theater. They remodeled a failed Regal in a mall and turned it into its own place. Here are the things about this place in order of increasing importance. First, it's cheap. An adult ticket is $10. Matinees are $8. Child and senior are $7. And their premium format, Encore, more on that later, doesn't cost more. The only upcharges are for 3D, presumably for glasses, and Fathom events, which seem to have their price set elsewhere. Next, the seats are not just reclining, but also heated. And if you're a front row person, there's actually chase recliner things in some of the big theaters. As far as advertising, none. The first trailer starts with no new V or other stuff exactly at the listed start time. So let me read that sentence again. So the first trailer starts with no new V, N-O-O-V-E-E, or other stuff exactly at the listed start time. Then they run 3 trailers, no more, no less. I've been to this theater 4 times so far, and it has been 3 trailers every time. Then a Dolby Digital bumper, then the movie. That's it. The very first show I went to did have a slideshow showing how they remodeled the place, but that has went away. Finally, they seem to care. The screens are pristine, unscratched, and even have some neat bias lighting that is before and during the trailers. I will put the quality of their normal screens on par with everything short of an IMAX theater without the sheer size. The normal screens are all advertised as Dolby Digital 7.1, and it sounds great. Then you go to the Encore theaters. Huge screens, pristine, and then the bumper is an Atmos one with 10 visible ceiling speakers. Sounds spectacular. Then the bass hits, and you feel the butt kickers in every seat. So there is one of these in Pittsfield, Mass. Not sure how far that is for you, but might be worth a trip. Sadly, the one there doesn't seem to have the Encore screens, but tickets are the same. Anyways, it's nice to see a theater chain, albeit small, seeming to do it right. Hopefully they make it. I've long thought that theaters themselves almost should be run nonprofit as a public good. I know Kevin Smith has done that with his hometown theater, Smodcastle Cinemas, but maybe more companies will do that. Happy New Year, Ian. And that was, you know, way back at New Year's. I literally hadn't seen this. I'd highlighted it, but it's in Pittsfield, which is literally it's at the border of New York, I believe, if I tried to look it up right now. So that would be at least a 2.5 hour drive. Let me put it in right now. I'll put it in my map here. And Pittsfield, Mass, 85 miles. So 2 hours, 2 hours, 3 minutes. It's literally at the New York border. So I'd be going all the way out there. But, and it's funny, you said they don't have the Encore screens. But if they did, I would definitely go for that. Maybe they'll be getting them. So, that does sound really cool. And what's really cool about it is that somebody does care. And if they do well, who knows? Maybe more and more people will be doing this. Maybe we'll get more of them. Let's see. Phoenix, dude, I just looked at it. He sent the link. I'll put the link in the show notes as well. Phoenix, there's Laurel Park, Michigan. There's a bunch of them. Michigan, looks like Iowa, Pittsfield, Mass. Beacon Cinema, it's called, in Pittsfield, Mass. See if there's anyone even closer. Ohio and Clarksville, Tennessee. Coming soon in Clarksville, Tennessee. Let's see. I'll click on the Pittsfield, Mass one. General admission 10, child senior matinee, real D, 3D experience, and Fathom events vary. So yeah, it doesn't look like they have the digital cinema for Captain America Brave New World. Is it 7:40, 8:40, and 11:50? That's for tonight. Yeah, looks interesting. Definitely looks interesting. They took over, it looks like, Beacon Cinema in Pittsfield, Mass. So maybe I'll give them a call, see what they've got. And maybe head out there for a road trip. See something out there that's like, yeah, looks pretty good. So, thanks, Ian. And yeah, and it's like, you know, see, I'm busy, sit down to do these things, and I learned something that I had almost 2 months ago. So, welcome to my world. Yeah, so let's see. Okay, did that one already. Joe Klusnick, he's like, hi guys, got a fun write-up on one of the assisted living theaters I did. Have at least one more of these projects to do this year for the company. And I'll link this in the show notes too. It's like, so is it SVS did the write-up? So people of any age love the art, love the heart-pounding excitement of immersive movie or music experience, especially when enjoyed in the company of others. Blue Mountain Enterprises specialize in the construction of assisted living facilities and knew they wanted to provide a special place where residents could enjoy the latest shows or movies on a big screen with convincing surround sound and all the perks of a typical theater. So, it's got pictures here. You can check it out. It's tell you about the setup. I'm not going to read the whole thing for you. You can list the, you can check out the link in the show notes. And, but yeah, this is stuff Joe Klusnick. We had talked about this a while ago, Joe and I, and what he does, and they go into assisted livings and spaces, and they do these amazing theaters for these people that, like, you know, for something that, we all maybe don't take for granted. We know how hard this is to do, but this is why Joe does this stuff. That's why, you know, he becomes a CDA member and he learns as much as he can so that he can do this stuff for, you know, for these places that, you know, some of these people might, you know, elderly people, assisted living or whatever, they're in these spaces and now they're getting an actual like home theater. And I've seen them in the past where, you know, I want to say it's like 20 to 50 seats, some of them, and they're really, really cool. And they do everything that we have, you know, and they try to put as much as they can into it, depending on the budget in the place. And yeah, check it out in the link. And it's one of those things that I didn't even know existed until, you know, you meet people like Joe. And it's like, hey, that is pretty cool. And it's like, there are people like Joe going out there and helping people do these things. And home theater, it's like one of these things where people say, oh yeah, home theater is dying. And it's not. People want to experience this stuff. So some of these people can't get out. You know, if they can't get out, there you go. And like we said, like Ian said in the last one, we say a lot a lot of times our theaters are better than the theaters you go to. And I can say that a lot of these theaters Joe's doing are better than if these people actually went out to the theater. So it makes it easier for them and they get a great experience. And like they said in the first paragraph of that write-up, that they get to experience it with other people. You know, that's even that's an advantage they have over us. It's like we go down to our theaters or sit down in our theaters and we're usually by ourselves in the prime seating location and all that, but you're not necessarily experiencing it with a bunch of other people and then getting to talk about it afterwards and stuff like that. So great way to take a community, put them together, get them together and have a fun time and really get to experience a movie the way it's supposed to be, you know? So that was pretty cool. And okay, and Jack Lee, who was on the show a few weeks ago, from Australia, and he said he wrote in after hearing him back. He says, "Hey DJ, just listening back to the Takeover Tuesday we did, I'm relieved I sound normal. I was worried I wasn't going to sound good, but I'm very happy. Thanks again. I'll be happy to chat anytime again, whenever. Have a great day, mate, Jack." And, thanks, Jack. And yeah, you sounded great and the audio sounded great. And I wanted to read that because a lot of people worry about that. A lot of people come on and they're afraid to come on that they're not going to sound normal or they're not going to sound, their sound isn't going to sound normal or they're going to be nervous. And that's not really the case. I've never had to bail on anybody, meaning like I've never recorded a show and then had somebody go like that wasn't good at it. Not everybody was nervous, but most are. Most people, especially listeners coming on, not especially, the listeners are nervous coming on, because I get that. It's like, I'm nervous. I remember the first time I sat down to write into AV Rant, I was nervous writing. You know, I wrote into hashtag dork. I was nervous writing in, you know, and I'll tell a story about that. I wrote into them during Infinity War. Okay. Right after, Avengers Infinity War had come out, like that weekend. And there's a line in that movie and where, Tom Holland is at the beginning of the movie and he swings through or something like that. And he says a line. And I swear every time I see it now, I swear he said the future. And he says a field trip. Okay. And it's at the very, very beginning when he swings through and Iron Man's like, "Where have you been?" And he's like, "A field trip." But I thought seeing it in a theater on one shot, I thought he said the future. And if you remember back then, every line was scrutinized. Everything we knew that there was time travel involved, could be time travel involved. There was time travel involved. What are they hinting at? So you're overanalyzing everything, right? So I write into hashtag dork. We didn't have a show. John and I didn't have a show yet. And this was in 2018. And I was nervous writing in and I write in and I say, I think he says the future, and they read it on the air and they're listening and they're like, yeah. And they're like, that could be. And it's like, maybe it's a hint to something. And then somebody says the following week, "No, dumb dumb, it's not the future." He says a field trip, which is what he was on when he got off the bus to go help, right? And when I heard that back the following week, I was like, I'm an idiot. Oh my God. I can't believe I did that. I was so embarrassed. I didn't want to say it. I didn't want to talk to him. I was like, oh my God, I'm an idiot. They think I'm an idiot and everything like that. And since then, I've talked to Rich about it and he's like, oh my God, we forgot about it. Everybody does that crap, you know? But when it's you, you think it's so overamplified. You think everybody's looking at you like you're the idiot that said the future when it was the field trip. And it's just not the case. And it's like, it's not at all. And it's like, so all of this from Jack's email is for the listeners. Like, if you want to come on here, if you're not, you might say something wrong. You might say something silly. But it's okay. It's like, there's nothing to be nervous about. We all do it. And John and I'll tell you, and Steve knows now, but it's like, you don't really get your groove talking here until you're willing to accept that you're going to make mistakes. You're going to sound silly, lean into it, have fun. And all the listeners that have ever come on here before, they've always had a blast. And then when it was over, they're like, oh my God, that flew by. I can't believe it's over. I can't believe it. And then we stopped the recording and we talked for usually like another hour or so. Not as much of that recently, but yeah, I don't want to say there's nothing to be nervous about, because that's not fair, because I know I was always nervous, like I said, emailing people, and never mind coming on and chatting. But it's not live. I don't use the video. I see people. I can see you, but I don't put it out. And I've had people that are like, oh, I don't want my video out. And I'm like, okay. And that's typically why I don't put the video out. I want to make it even for everybody. It's funny because, Michael, you know, youth man, he was like, why don't you put it on YouTube? And he goes, you can get this. Like when I did one with him, and I was like, no, that makes everybody even. You know, even Michael, you know, Michael Stevens, youth man. It's like, I can put him on YouTube and get a bunch of clicks. Yeah, but now he's even with the listeners. You know, he's even, everybody comes on Takeover Tuesday. It's typically audio only. Every now and then I might put out something that was like extra, extra special or something like that, where it's an, for a product or something that I really wanted to get out there or something, which I've done in the past where I wanted, oh, okay, this would be good to get extra exposure. But about the person, I think we did the one where Giles and I talked about, I think we did that one on YouTube as well, where Giles and I talked about the PD dying, and it was me, Giles, and Brett. I think I put that one out as well. I'm not sure, but typically it's Takeover Tuesdays, audio only. We have a blast, and it's just so much fun talking to the listeners and getting new perspectives, which ironically are usually very similar to our perspectives. You know, oh my God, I'm just like that person or this person. So yeah. So if anybody's out there that hasn't been on the show or has been thinking about it, absolutely, you know, don't be nervous, and, or you'll get over the nervousness. Don't let the nervous discourage you. I shouldn't say don't be nervous, because that you could have told me don't be nervous, and I was I used to be nervous every time I sat down for years, years. I wish you could have seen John and I when we first sat down and how nervous we were. And it wasn't live. It was just the two of us. And honestly, if we didn't have the two of us, we never would have done it. You know, this show wouldn't exist if it wasn't for John, because what I learned with him for a year gave me the confidence to sit down here by myself and talk like this, and then be able to, you know, put it out and everything, and not be upset and have like, oh, ums and oh, pauses and all that stuff. And yeah, John and I were like, poof. But yeah, so anybody willing and looking to come on, you might be nervous. Don't worry about it. You're going to be nervous, and we'll get through it. We'll get through it together, but we're going to talk home theater at the end, and you'll be like, oh, what was I nervous about? So, yeah. So just email me, dj@brightsidehometheater.com. Let me know you want to come on, and we'll schedule that up. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. And, yeah, it's like, thanks, Jack. Thanks for the email. I'm glad you sounded, I'm glad you think you sounded great. Everybody sounds great. Don't worry about your audio, everybody. You don't need special audio. You can do it from earbuds, from your iPhone or something. People have done that. John's brother Eddie did it in a car from his iPhone wearing an ear pod. So there you go. And it's like, you don't have to have amazing sound, you know, sounding microphone and stuff like that. John, Steve, and I, it's kind of my thing for me. It's like, I love the tech, just like our home theater. It's like, I don't need to have a Lumigen, but I do. I don't need to have this microphone, but I do, you know, and that's just what I want to do, you know? So it's part of the home theater experience. It's part of the podcasting experience. So, and people have done the show and gone out and bought, you know, because they're in home theater, people be like, I got a new microphone. I got all this, and they plug it in and they're like, yay. And it's like, just to do the show. And it's like, they've never done a show before, and they go and get a, you know, a USB microphone, and they get it all set up and the headphones, and, you know, just to have the experience. And, so sounds great. Have at it. Join us. All right. Next one. This one's, Gurinder. And he says, he's like, my wife and I were watching The Devil's Hour the other week, and look what showed up on the screen. I thought there would be a bus bench outside, and it's Brightside Lodges. He took a picture of the screen, and he sent that to Steve and I. And Steve's, he's like, Steve replied, he says, it's amazing how often this happens. his family and him were on break last year and happened upon a Brightside restaurant, if you guys remember that from the show. That was really cool. But yeah, it's funny when you see Brightside anywhere. We saw one, my friend this week got a Brightside poster and, she put it in her house. it's just a light bulb. Look on the bright side. It's a poster. So that's pretty cool. And when you hear it in movies, like, I actually have it here. Aaron Eckhart. And it's like, here it is.
You always look on the bright side.
There you go. Aaron Eckhart.
On the bright side.
There you go. And that's all from The Core. And I think this is it here.
Look on the bright side. At least we're not going to boil to death.
You always look on the bright side?
Always.
So, hey, every week we sit down here, at least we're not going to boil to death. it is pretty funny when you hear that stuff in shows. I hear it all the time. You hear it in, recently I heard it in Big Bang Theory, like, oh, look on the bright side. I'm like, hey, that's us. It's not really, but, hey. New Patreon member. Thank you to Bill Testerman, new $2 member. Just became a member on 2/15 last week. I believe it was after the show. Actually, it was Saturday. Sorry. So Saturday. Thank you, Bill. Really appreciate that. And there will be no, I'm skating this week. I'm back to skating this week. So later today after the show, there won't be any. I got to get right out the door to my game. And get stretched out and everything. I haven't skated in a few weeks. So there will be no Patreon chat after the show this week, but depending, if I don't have a game next week, will we resume the Patreon chats next Tuesday? Next Tuesday would be, let's see, for audio people, it would be the 25th. Sorry. So Tuesday the 25th, we will be doing another Patreon chat and I will get that up on Patreon. So, but yes, thank you, Bill, and anybody else that would like to join us or supporting the show over on Patreon where they, you know, give a dollar, everybody, you know, we get like 80 cents of it, I think, after Patreon takes their cut. But if everybody did that, literally not even a joke, because I know our audio numbers, if everybody within the sound of this voice, if everybody gave a buck, John, Steve, and I could do this full time. We already know the numbers. We're like, and John's like, John wouldn't need a job, literally, if everybody gave a dollar. That's if everybody gave a dollar. Now, you know, I don't expect that, of course, but when you know the audio numbers, if everybody gave a dollar and that we got that money in monthly, it would mean like we could all like rest easy. John, probably that would be, I'm pretty sure, maybe not need a job. But it would help him a lot right now, I tell you that. And I'm not saying this just for that. I just know what the audio, in the way this idea works, with Patreon and stuff. It's like you get, you know, a little bit in, but you get a bunch of people to do it. That's the idea. And we do have a bigger audio audience than we do, obviously, a YouTube audience. And that's, you know, and I've had people tell me it's not the way to do it. They tell me, nope, don't trust the audience. I'm like, no, I love the audience. That's who I trust. I don't want to trust anybody else. Things come and go. People don't. So people do. People have dropped out and people have dropped out from Patreon and everybody that's dropped out has been very gracious. They have, exit interviews with Patreon and every now and then I'll go on and check them. I used to get alerts when people dropped out and I don't anymore. Not that I shut it off. I don't know why I don't get them. And I used to send them an email like, oh, thank you for your time, blah, blah, blah. But they do have exit interview. Nobody's ever said like, you suck. Now, I don't like you anymore. Nobody ever said that before. They all say, financial situation changed or their interest changed. They just don't listen as much anymore, but we love you and love your show, blah, blah, blah. Okay, great. I appreciate that. I mean, hey, you know, I don't listen to my shows as much that I used to listen to anymore either. Still support them. Still have a bunch going out, like $20 a month going out to all my people I support. But yeah, if everybody supported us by a buck, oh my God, it would be insane. But there'll be a little bit more on this. I am going to try to, you know, for John's sake, for all of our sakes, we could use the money. We have enough right now coming in to support the show. But you know, there is a lot that goes into it. And maybe if we were a little bit more, everybody tells us like the way to do it is just to be more vocal about it. And I'm just not very good at that. So maybe if I'm a little bit more vocal in the future, maybe I'll get more like Bill this week. I think we were talking, he probably was like, oh yeah, I keep mentioning it. And yeah, I keep meaning to do that. It probably is something like that. So yeah, we'll get a little bit more into that in the future and see where it goes. And who knows? Maybe someday we will get a dollar from everybody and I'll be able to do this full time, travel the world. Wouldn't that be great? All right. Let's see. Carl, quick question for your shows. So Carl emails AV Rant, myself, and HT guys all the time. And he says, quick question for your shows. So on average, how many films a year do you all see out of the house and at the movies? We were just chatting about it with friends over dinner. We are at about 3 a week, give or take. So 156 out at the movies a year. Two of our friends are at 4 a week, mostly AFS screenings. They call AFS their second living room. Not that much. I used to go all the time. I used to go, oh my God, pre-COVID, I was going maybe once a week on average. And that was a lot for me. And it was like, even during the slow time of year, I might have been up to maybe 1.5 times a week at my peak. I loved going to the movies. I loved, you know, I would, if it was a rainy day, boom, right into a movie theater to see something. And I think for me, what ended up doing, it wasn't COVID that put me off. I mean, geez, I saw, like I said, this is pre-COVID, literally right when COVID's happening, but I saw Bloodshot in the theater on opening day. And then I got tickets for Joe and I to see it on Tuesday. So that's like bang, just for that movie alone, I'm seeing twice in a theater. And then the theater shut down. But I used to do that. And then in, what was the movie in February of that year? The, Harley Quinn movie that came out with, Margot Robbie. I saw that twice in theaters before John and I did a show. We used to record on, I think it was Wednesday nights. I saw it opening day and I fell asleep, and my wife and I went to see it. I fell asleep. She enjoyed it. And I was like, what the heck? I didn't really like it. I fell asleep during it. And then you listen to the show that's on Brightside Chat and you hear me. And this was like, everybody has this story from 2020, February 2020. Everybody has this story. I got wicked sick, so I bet you it was COVID. That was me. You can hear it on the show. We didn't know what it was at the time, but I was sick as a dog. I was sick as a dog when I saw it the first time, the Harley Quinn movie. And then if you remember back then, when you got sick, you were just like, you take some cough medicine, you down an energy drink, and you get back into that movie so you can enjoy it. And that's exactly what I did. And it wasn't until COVID hit that you're like, oh, you're not supposed to do that. It's like, whoops. But if you listen to me on the show, I don't know what happened. I was like, I remember telling John, I felt like I got hit by a truck. And I did the show. And I was like, for going to a movie, how many times do you go? As many times as it takes for me to enjoy it. I did the same thing with Shazam. I didn't like Shazam. I saw that in the theaters and I came home and I was like, that was awful. And John was like, I loved it. I was like, all right, I'll go back, try it again. So I went back and loved it. I was like, I mustn't have been in the right frame of mind. And that's what I ask people when they don't like a movie. Like I asked Davey from hashtag dork when he didn't like a Jurassic Park movie. I was like, what kind of mood were you in when you saw it? And he was like, this was literally our first interaction. We ran into him at a Comic-Con. My son and I ran into them. I think we talked about it this past November when the two of them were on the show together in the 25-hour show. But it's like, that was the conversation. We had great conversation. We didn't just run into each other and say hi. We actually talked on the floor there in Connecticut. And I think Joe was talking to Keith, and I was like, I was dying to say something to Davey. And this was like maybe a year or two earlier. He had said it about Jurassic Park, but he was so adamant about this. I forget which version it was. Actually, I know which one. I forget the title, but it's the one with the girl, the dumbwaiter. So if you remember which one that was the one Davey had a problem with, and he hated it, absolutely hated it. And I was like, I thought it was great. I had a great time with it. But he was right. And he goes, this high security building and this girl is going up and down through this high security building and the dumbwaiter. I was like, all right, I can't argue with you there. But I asked him, I was like, hey, great to meet you. Were you in a bad mood when you saw Jurassic Park, whatever it was? And he was like, I think I was. I think something had happened. I was like, you might want to give it another shot, but that, you know, that's me. And I do that to myself too. If I don't like something, I try it again and then I'll be like, no, that sucked. And it's like, and I tried it with Evil Dead Rise. See, even without Steve here, I get to Evil Dead Rise, you know, and I tried it and I was like, I got into it and I was like, no, this is horrible. I don't like it. So I stopped, you know. Oppenheimer, I loved it. I tried to not like it, so I kept seeing it over and over. Still loved it. Sorry, Shane. So, Steve, maybe Fifth Element? Maybe? No, I'm just kidding you, buddy. So, but yeah, I used to get out all the time. I loved going to the movies. But COVID, I don't think COVID did it to me because I was the first one to get back into the theater. I saw Tenet in theaters. That was one of the first ones to be. I saw New Mutants. That was one of the first ones to be back in theaters that fall around here. I loved going to. I couldn't wait to support the theaters. If you listen to my old shows, that's all I used to say. John and I used to argue. I used to argue with R and Braden. I was like, we don't need the stuff at home. I was like, it's going to get to your house eventually. Why do you need it day and date? Go to support the theaters. Do this. We need to support these theaters. And then I honestly think it's as my theater got better. I think it had more to do with my kids growing up, getting out of the house, and I had more disposable income to be able to put into my theater. And then my theater got better and better. Okay. And then it was like really one of the biggest ones to me. The biggest improvements in that journey on making it better than going to the theater was the SVS PB2000s. Before that, I had like a Frankenstein system of, I had an NHT 10 in the front. And then I had, I don't even know what it was in the back. My dad worked for this company that did, it was called Multifasteners, and they sold nuts and bolts to these companies around basically the region, but also around the country if they needed a special nut or bolt, right? So there's this speaker manufacturer out in California. It was a weird name, nothing I'd ever heard of. And they were going out of business. And my dad emails me, he's like, do you want any speakers or anything? And I didn't really need anything. I'm like, wait, do they have any subwoofers? And they're like, yeah. So they shipped him a subwoofer for free. And it was like this little, and I put it in the back, not little, it was a decent size subwoofer. It was good. Better, you know, it was actually a better subwoofer than the NHT in the front, but it gave me those two, subs in the room to even it out, but they still weren't as powerful as a couple of SB2000s. PB2000s. No way near as powerful in that room for that. So when I finally was able to be able to save up and get that, I think that was the first purchase I made when it was like, I think my kids were in college and I was like, you know, it was 2015, 2016, something like that. And I was like, oh, look, I got a little bit extra here because I'm not paying for him to go to hockey. I'm not paying for her dance. I'm not paying for this. Yes, we were paying for him to go to college, but it was actually cheaper at the beginning when they first went. So I started upgrading, and that was one of the ones and I say it all the time that the commercial, the trailer, the Mission Impossible, when, you know, Henry Cavill, it's like cocking the fists and it's like boom, boom. And that punch you got in the Dolby Cinema that Joe and I had seen, and you come running home and try that out in my theater. And I had them at the time and I was like, I'm there. I got it. That was the last piece, and the last piece to be like in a theater. Okay. That made it that I don't need anything else. In the Dolby Cinema, they had the transducers and great subs, and you felt it in your chest and you felt it in your seat. In my theater, I have the two PB2000s, and you feel it in your chest and you feel it in your seat. You don't need transducers. If you ever heard that show, I don't know if it was, I was on HT Guys or Ara was on here, but Ara has transducers. And he goes, no, DJ, you need to feel it through your seat. You need to experience that once. And I go, Ara, I do. He goes, oh. I was like, yeah, I can't wait for you to come out here someday and feel it. You don't need transducers when you have the subs like this set up like that. I was like, I have that feeling. And he's like, oh, okay. So it was pretty funny to be like, no, you need this. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, this is pretty good. And one of the things I like about that too, and I talked to Ara about at the time, is the transducers put it through the seat regardless. What I get, I can get a punch in the chest without it coming through the seat. It's a different frequency that puts it through the seat. The punch in the chest is different than what goes through. So if I get a feel in the seat and I get a punch in the chest, that's a different frequency. It's a different way that the bass is working. But you can get the in the seat and you'll be like, whoa, this is great. Or you can get the gunshot blast that just goes boom right in your chest, but it doesn't necessarily go boom through your seat. So with a transducer, that's coming up through your seat regardless, because it's a bass note. It's a bass note. It's going to duplicate it through your seat. So I'm not saying that you don't do, if you need to do those, if you have a living room space and you're not getting that feeling, you're not getting that tactile feel, that's definitely a great alternative to that. But if you don't need it and you can get good, great bass in your room, or let me just say this, you can get great bass in your room and feel like you have transducers even when you don't. So, you know, that's probably the better way to go. More accurate, I should say. But anyways, back to Carl's question. I don't get out as much anymore because, like I said, it's like my theater after doing that is close to it. It was better than the Dolby Cinemas, was better than, it's not as big. It's not as grandiose. You're not experiencing it with a bunch of people. So I would always go to the premieres for the Marvel films, for a whole, all of those things I would go to, but then I limited myself just to that. And it wasn't like, let's go back and see it again and let's see it again. Maverick, I saw a bunch of times. It's just, Oppenheimer, I saw a bunch of times in theaters, tried to experience that in all the different ways I could experience it, including the 70 millimeter IMAX, which was amazing. So it takes a really special movie to get me to see it multiple times in the theater. I mean, not everything can be Bloodshot, you know, not everything can get you to be that special, you know, or Transformers. You know, anything really, really special like that. Inside joke. If you don't know what that is, go back and listen to previous episodes. and maybe check out The Godfather. But yeah, I don't go, and I haven't, honestly, I haven't even seen, Captain America, Brave New World yet. I tried to, schedule didn't permit. I bought tickets a couple of times, didn't make it. I'm still trying to get there for the show on Tuesday, but I'm not sure I'm going to make it. And here's the worst part. I'm not missing it. And it has nothing to do with what I think the quality of the movie is going to be or anything like that. It's just the way my schedule is. And it's something that because my theater, I really enjoy my theater. And all right, if I miss it, I'll see it when I get it in my theater. You know, it's so much so that if it's not like the X Plus here in Showcase, I won't sit. Like, if Brave New World is like out of X Plus by the time I have an opportunity, I won't see it. I just won't. Because that to me is like, I'm not seeing that. There's no way. I'll just wait another few weeks, a month maybe, and see it at home in my theater and experience it the way it should be experienced. So, maybe when I'm done with the house and I have a little more time on my hands, maybe I'll get back to that. But I have a feeling I'll be doing, when I get more time on my hands, I'm going to be doing more podcasting. I'm going to be doing more movie watching here. I want to do more travel back to, hey, Patreon, everybody give a dollar. I want to do more travel and be able to go see people and do stuff like visiting listeners everywhere, you know, get over to England, get to the West Coast. You know, it was awesome seeing Mikey and Johnny Speakers and visiting with them. And I mean, that's a travel to be able to do that, you know. Yes, I've visited Danny around here. I've visited other listeners around here. I've visited Nelson. And I'll do that around here, but I really love to be able to travel and see people. Speaking of which, I'll be visiting with Martin in September, Martin of the Nerdy Legion. He's moving to Denver shortly, and I'm like, I'll see you in September because I'll be there for Cedia, and he's going to be right in Denver. So that'll be cool. But I like to visit people, you know, not big on travel, but if I'm going to go see some great people, I'll do that, and see some great home theaters, I'll do that too. So that's what I think I'll be doing more with my spare time once the house is complete. And I mean complete, like I'm going to be in it this year, but is not going to be complete for a couple of years where I have time away from the house. I'll be doing projects, mainly building the theater and fixing and finishing all the little odds and ends. So, but yeah, let us know, you know, email me, let me know how many times you go to the theaters, and maybe we'll talk about it with the guys on the show later today too. So it's a great question, Carl. I can't believe you go around three times a week. You got a lot of time on your hands, buddy. That's awesome. Good for you. Good for you. So last subject, really quick. Just hysterical. It literally is in every sense of the word. It's funny and people being hysterical. If people have seen the news Sony not producing Blu-rays anymore. And then right away, I saw it on Twitter. I've seen it on, I've seen emails about it. I've seen it, on the internet, all of these articles, and they're like, and this is the death of physical media and blah, 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 blah. And everybody jumping to the conclusion that it's like, this is the death of it. And then the conversation starts like, well, there you go. Movies are dead. Yeah. Okay. Laserdisc is dead. Did movies die? No. DVD is, wow, it's the biggest seller. Nobody can figure out why, but they're still around. And, you know, why would movies die? First off, that is ridiculous. It's like, oh, halt production, put the cameras away, you know, sound guy, you're out of a job. They're not making Blu-rays anymore. Sony's not making, you didn't see the headlines? Sony's not making Blu-rays anymore. Movie industry's over, everybody. Go home. Turn out the lights. Go home. Oh, don't read past the headline. Don't read the article that they're not making rewritable Blu-rays. Oh, wait, that makes sense. Cause what donkey is still recording onto a Blu-ray nowadays? Huh? Oh, I'm sorry. That one guy just yelled back at this. The one guy listening to the show just yelled back at his radio. He's like, I am. Okay. Good for you. But that's all it was about. But the uproar that I saw, like, really, everybody, you really think Sony, who just put out their newest projector for home theater, then all of Sony put out a whole new line of receivers. All of this stuff, they do everything. The Sony does everything from production of the movie, right? ARA has an Academy, ARA of HD guys has an Academy Award working with Sony because they invented something for movies. Okay. Sony is so deeply embedded in movies. It's ridiculous. And because somebody reads ahead, as soon as I see Sony and Blu-ray, I'm like, oh, interesting. What are they doing here? The movie industry isn't going away. Home theater's not going away. It was so ridiculous that people were flipping out right away and not even thinking like, how? Be like, I mean, I know the big JVC Sony war with projectors is great. What else does JVC do with movies? Do they make movies? No. Do they put out Blu-rays? No. Do they do all this? No. Sony does, because they're so deeply embedded. When you go and see any of their products, they're like, everything in the room is Sony here. It's like the receiver and the receiver, all the, they make TVs, everything. They make the cameras that they're filming movies with. They're doing everything. And because you see a headline that they're getting rid of Blu-ray production, that's it. It's over. Wrap it up. It's so funny how people overreact to the silliest things when common sense would tell you, be like, no, it's got to be something else. Let me see. And then in the first line, rewritable Blu-rays. Yeah. Okay. That's easy, everybody. Never mind the fact that Blu-rays are going to go away. 4K Blu-rays are going to go away. Guaranteed. It's guaranteed. We're going to go away. I'm going to die. Everybody's going to die. It's all going away, everybody. Guess what? That's life and death. But Blu-rays are going to go away. The movies aren't. The entertainment isn't. Shakespeare was writing. They didn't have Blu-rays, but he was still making entertainment for people so that people could go to plays, go and watch something happen. They didn't have a way to record it, so you had to see it live. Once you could record it, more people can see it. And guess what? We have more people on the planet now than in Shakespeare's day. So guess what? More people are seeing it, and they're recording it, and they're putting it out. How are people going to get it? And there's always going to be donkeys like us that want it in the best possible quality. And that the way we get that is going to change. I've been at this over 30 years. It's changed more than a handful of times. Believe more than a handful. I can count on one hand and have to go to the next hand. And I have 10 fingers, not just 8. Inside joke. Hey, Fonzie. So it's going to change. No need to panic, because every time it changes, it gets better. It doesn't go backwards. They didn't invent the VHS only to put out, like, I don't even know what was recordable before that. Nothing. They didn't invent Laserdisc only to put out VHS after the fact. I should have said that. That was easier for my brain to wrap. You know, they go forward. They advance. Nobody wants to go, look at this. Oh my. Oh my. Look at this 4K Blu-ray. Oh, how about we get this big 12-inch disc and you have to play both sides? Let's go backwards. And it's only 480i, everybody. It's great. Let's do that. No, it's going to go forward. It's going to get better. And that's what sells. You know, for one reason, you got a microwave. You're not still cooking over an open flame out in the backyard. You know, we have new types of ovens. Everything moves forward. We move forward. That's the job. That's travel. That's nature. You don't stop. You stand still, you die. And that's what happens. So I'm not worried about it. I love headlines like that. I love headlines like that because I find it hysterical that people get all bent out of shape and they're like, and they want to go on social media. And that's why I love social media. It's like one of my favorite things to do is it's like kind of like an idiot meter. It really gets to show like you have all the time in the world. You're on social media. You just read this and you've got to be the first one to comment. You've got to be the first one to get it out there to tell everybody, there goes physical media. Yay. Oh, look at me. I'm so pissed. This is why we can't have nice things. I did see that quote. This is why we can't have, they take them away from us, blah, blah, blah. Take a moment before you type. Read. You're on social media. You're on it. You just read. You didn't finish the article. You read the headline. Take a moment and read. And that's what's so funny. Have you ever been in an argument with somebody, like the George Costanza joke? You're in an argument face to face with a person and they get you with a zinger and you're like, and you didn't have a comeback for it. And you're driving home after the party, whatever you were talking to, and you're like, oh my God, I just thought of it. And we're like, yeah, well, the jerk store called and they're running out of you. And you couldn't wait to use that joke. And then it comes back to haunt you because, well, you're the all-time bestseller. That's the George Costanza joke. You're typing. Take your time. Take your time and say something thoughtful. Don't put your foot in your mouth and talk like you know everything about home theater. And then you put your foot in your mouth and say something stupid for all the world to see. Take your time. I'm not saying this is the listeners. I'm not saying to my listeners, they don't do this. I just find it funny that people do. And I find that entertaining, almost as entertaining as a good movie. So, all right. That's it for this week. A nice rant. So hope you guys have fun. I did. I had a lot of fun with it. So, I will do another one next week. I don't know what I'll be doing for Takeover Tuesday next week. But we will do another one and I will be back with the boys on the bus bench later this afternoon. That would be later this afternoon, February the 18th at 5 PM Eastern time. And again, remember everybody, you know, if everybody gave a dollar, this would be my full-time job. So, and John wouldn't need to be looking for a job. So that'd be cool. And Steve still would be in England. So the price, you know, monetary exchange, you know, might not work out for him, but all right, everybody have a great week. And have a great few hours till I see you at the live show. Make fun of me in the live show. All you want. That'd be great. And, make fun of Steve and don't make fun of John. He gets upset. He really does. He's very sensitive. Let's see if John listens this far into the show. Doubt it. All right, everybody, have a great week. And again, if you want to be on the show, email me at brightsidehometheater.com. And you can also, just email me, DJ@brightsidetheater.com. And I do actually, hang on a second. I think I lost it. Somebody, where did it go? Maybe it's here. I gotta look. TV. Nope. Somebody gave me a $10 box of popcorn and I lost the email. I am very sorry, but thank you to who that was. I'll try to find it for later in today's show. And I will thank you in later in today's show, but it just hit me. Somebody did buy us a $10 box of popcorn, this week since the last show. So see, I'm an idiot. See, I make mistakes. Sorry about that. So we'll end on a really good note right there. So everybody, I will see you later today. Have a great time. Have a great week. And, until next time, you know what you gotta do.
Go push play.
What he said.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.